You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on May 18th, 2023. And this week we're talking about a group of pastors who were protesting lawmakers in North Carolina over legislation that would protect unborn babies from abortion after 12 weeks of pregnancy. They claimed that Christians should support women's so-called freedom to have an abortion. We're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links to the story, as well as other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-18-23. Now for our story this week. Christian pastors defend killing babies in abortion because God wants us to have freedom. From Life News, a small group of North Carolina pastors criticized state lawmakers for trying to protect unborn babies from abortion during a rally Friday in the state capitol. According to the Religion News Service, the pastors, who profess to be Christians, asserted that God gives women the freedom to make their own decisions about aborting their unborn babies. One even wore a pink pastor's stole with the name of the logo of the billion-dollar abortion chain Planned Parenthood. Religious leaders know what is at stake for a woman faced with an unexpected pregnancy, said the so-called Reverend Jennifer Copeland, executive director of the North Carolina Council of Churches, according to the report. God's primary directive for God's people has always been about all of us taking care of each one of us, but allowing every one of us the freedom to make our own decisions. Further on in that article, it says this: approximately 12 attended the pro-abortion rally Friday, including Copeland and the so-called Reverend William J. Barber II of Poor People's Campaign and Repairers of the Breach, RNS reports. The speakers insisted that Christians can and should support abortions and claimed lawmakers focus too much on the issue and not enough on helping the poor and ending gun violence. Usually when I read news stories that could potentially be podcast topics, I save them and revisit them later, sometimes look them over two or three times before deciding to use them in an episode. But this story, I happened to come across it the day it was posted, which was May 15th, and immediately decided to cover it in this week's episode, which is being recorded now on the 16th and will be released on the 18th of May. There's just so much about this article that bothered me. You have a group of so-called pastors twisting the biblical concept of freedom in order to promote or defend the godless and barbaric practice of abortion. There are four points that we're going to talk about here today in this episode. The first point is that we do have freedom in Christ. Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That idea of liberty is what we're talking about here, freedom, liberty. But there are two aspects of this freedom that relate to the issue that we're discussing here. One of them is that we are free from the bondage of sin. Jesus himself said in John 8 and verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Then in verse 34, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Then verse 36, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." So Jesus offers us freedom, but what kind of freedom is this? It's a freedom from sin. And this is what Paul talked about over in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, where he said, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you're committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And we'll talk about that more in just a minute, about freedom from sin making us slaves or servants of righteousness. But we are also, we think about the freedom that we have in Christ, we are free from the punishment for sin. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So in Christ, we have freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin and freedom from the punishment for sin. So there is that freedom that's there. However, we get into point number two that we're talking about today, is that we are not free to do whatever we want. Peter talked about this over in 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, where he says, "Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God." Again, we are freed from sin, but we are slaves of righteousness, as we read in that passage in Romans chapter 6. So Peter says, don't use this freedom that you have in Christ as a covering for evil, as an excuse to continue in sin. That's not what you are to do in Christ. In Christ, we are free from sin, but not to continue in sin. Back in that passage in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul began that section by saying, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" So you had some in the church in Rome that had this concept that, well, we can just, because the grace of God has been extended to us, we can continue in sin so that the grace of God will continue to be shared with us or bestowed upon us. He says, you cannot continue in sin. He said in verse 11 of that chapter, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." There's so many want to consider us as being dead in sin, and we continue in sin, but Paul says, no, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we talk about freedom as in the freedom from the punishment for sin. Well, in Christ, we are free from that, but that does not free us from the consequences of sin. The wise man said back in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, "Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous," or the King James uses the word transgressor, "the way of the transgressor is hard." There are difficulties that come when we sin. There are consequences that come with us. With that, we can be forgiven, but that doesn't mean the consequences go away. So yes, the first two points we've talked about, there is freedom in Christ, but having freedom in Christ does not mean we are free to do whatever we want. Now, the third point gets into this point specifically about abortion. According to God's law, abortion is fundamentally evil. Well, why would I say that? The reason why abortion is fundamentally evil is because it destroys a life that has been made in the image of God. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So all of us have been created in the image of God. And therefore, every life is valuable, and every life then is to be protected. God made this point after the flood when he was speaking with Noah, and he talked about the fact that man has been made in the image of God by saying that life is to be protected and valued. In Genesis 9 and verse 6, he said, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." So you have punishment for those who destroy the life of one who has been made in the image of God, which includes those who are yet unborn. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful all your works, and my soul knows it very well. And there's an article that I wrote not too long ago that's based on that verse, about we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll link to that in the show notes because that deals with this issue of abortion along with some other issues that are culturally relevant. That if you haven't read that article, then check that out because that will address some of the things that we're talking about here, but go into a little, some other points that we're not going to get into here in this episode. But when we think about abortion and what the Bible teaches related to abortion, some have attempted to shift the debate of abortion to include more than just what we're talking about right now with the deliberately killing of a human life that has been made in the image of God. And they want to, in this abortion debate, include the procedure of removing the body of a baby who has died in the womb and calling that an abortion. That's not the issue. The issue is about deliberately terminating the life of a human being who has been made in the image of God. And those who equate the two are being dishonest. And Christians who do this should be ashamed of themselves because they know better. I know they know better. It does not matter what civil authorities decide on this matter. Those North Carolina legislators, whatever they decide, whatever law they pass, murder is still wrong. Even if the state decides it's legal, it's still going to be wrong. So, if abortion is fundamentally evil, as we've talked about, should Christians support abortions as these 12 so-called pastors claim that we should? Well, the answer to that is no. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Rather than working to defend the so-called freedom of women to terminate the life of their unwanted child, we need to expose the evils of abortion and try to turn people away from it. And now the fourth point. I'm going to talk about this idea of what they called this freedom as it relates to abortion. These pastors are arguing for the so-called freedom for women who are seeking abortions. Now, as we've talked about, there is freedom available in Christ, but it is not the freedom to kill their unborn child. Now, they talked about in this article these unexpected pregnancies. In the case of a pregnancy that is unexpected, what's the reason for it? Why is it unexpected? Well, there could be a few different reasons. Is it a case of pregnancy due to sin? Did she engage in fornication? Did she sin in that way? Well, the consequences don't go away for that. There is forgiveness available in Christ, but there are still consequences that come, and having that child is one of those consequences. The freedom that we have in Christ does not give us the option to just remove everything that has happened that we didn't plan for. That is still a child, a life, a human being that has been made in the image of God. Now, is it a pregnancy that is due to tragically rape or abuse or something like that? Or will the pregnancy result in financial difficulty and hardship for the mother? Those sadly do happen. And in the case of those who are Christians, Christians are there to support their fellow Christians. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, and we won't talk about that here and read the text, but in that passage, it talks about the extraordinary effort that went on in the early church to help brethren who were in need, where they went so far as to sell houses and lands in order to help those who were unable to care for themselves. Now, I'll link to a video Bible study that just recently posted on Acts chapter 4 in that series I'm doing on the book of Acts. If you want to learn more about that or hear more about that. But that was an extraordinary effort that was undertaken by the church there in the first century to help their brethren who were in need. And so Christians are there to support other Christians. And so if someone gets themselves in a situation where they don't know how they're going to take care of this child, they don't know how they're going to manage with this new responsibility and financial obligations, all of that, there are brethren who will help. There's a local church there who will help. And they might say, well, what about the, you know, I don't want to let people know what I did if fornication was involved. I want people to know that's what I did. Well, that's part of being a member of a local church, that we can confess our sins to one another and then receive support and forgiveness from one another and help moving forward as in a case like this. Now, for those who are not Christians, you need to look for the forgiveness and the hope that is found in Christ, which if that woman who has an unwanted pregnancy, if she would become a Christian, to receive that forgiveness and hope that is found in Christ, that would also put her in fellowship with a body of believers that can provide the support she needs as she goes through this. Abortion is not going to be the answer, even in those difficult situations. It's not going to be the answer to sin and terminate the life of that child who's been made in the image of God. But as we wrap all of this up, again, remember what abortion is. Abortion is the deliberate destruction of a life of an unborn child that has been made in the image of God. No Christian, whether a pastor, preacher, or anyone else, no Christian should ever support or advocate for this practice of abortion. Now, do the women seeking or contemplating abortion, do they need help? Absolutely they do. But that help needs to include help for their unborn child. Now that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the story we talked about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-1823. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others that you think would be interested in this, that is always appreciated when you do that. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading video versions of this to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer video to audio, then that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we post here. I mentioned the video series we're doing on the book of Acts because one of those lessons related to what we're talking about here. So you'll see those if you subscribe to the channel, and then other videos that we post periodically on different topics. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, please email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.